Thank you again for being with us today. And just kind of want to get into the message. We're in the second week of Hymns of the Church. And today we're going to look at the lyrics of a song entitled, It Is Well With My Soul. This message, I believe, is for those of us, which is probably all of us, who have had to deal with the loss of a loved one or someone suffering or some sort of pain in life. And a key verse that I want to use this morning is from Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Would you say that with me? Read it with me. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Father in heaven, I pray today you would help us to know just how close you are to us. And we ask in your name for a healing, Lord, a restoration, Lord, even a reconditioning of our thinking and our hearts to know just how good of a Father you are. We love you and we thank you for who you are. And blessed be the name of the Lord. So in the mighty name of Jesus, help us to respond according to your word today for your glory. Amen. The hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, was written by Horatio Spafford. Horatio was a successful lawyer in Chicago. He had five children, one son, and four daughters. And he was married to a lady named Anna. Now, everything was going fine for the Spafford family up until the point that his son got pneumonia and died. I personally cannot imagine the loss of a child for a parent and the depth of pain that might cause. But this is what Horatio and Anna were dealing with, but life went on. Now, as a lawyer, Horatio had gained many real estate properties in Chicago, but sadly, all of it burned down a year later in the Great Chicago Fires of 1871, and all of his investments were lost. After a couple of years when things were recouping and he had recovered from some of the losses, the family was doing better, and Horatio decided that he would get away with Anna and the girls and take a European vacation. So they planned the trip with their four daughters to go to Europe. But just days before the trip was to take place, Horatio finds out there's an urgent matter of business that needed to be taken care of at the law firm. So he tells Anna, "Listen, you and the girls go on ahead. I'll be just a few days behind you." So his wife and daughters boarded the boat and were heading toward Europe. About 4 days into the trip and the journey, the ship they were on was struck by another sailing vessel. And within 12 minutes, the ship that they were on sunk in the Atlantic Ocean, taking the lives of all four of the daughters, as well as 222 others. Anna, the mother, was found floating on a piece of wreckage and was picked up. And then after 9 more days on the sea, she finally arrived in Cardiff, Wales. From there, she wired her husband a message which said, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio had not yet been able to get away, but upon this news, of course, Horatio immediately packed a bag, boarded the next ship to join his wife. About 4 days into that trip, the captain of the ship called for Horatio to come to his cabin. And there he tells Horatio, we're at the place where the ship that had your daughters on it was struck, and this is where they drowned. According to Bertha Spafford Vester, is a daughter of Horatio who was born after the tragedy. She tells the story that in the vicinity of that place and in the midst of his pain, Horatio began to pen the lyrics to the hymn we know as It Is Well With My Soul. And he writes these words to start. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when things are going good," he's saying, "when sorrows like sea billows roll, when things are tough and hard. He says, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let me ask you, how could anyone write lyrics like those in the middle of pain and anguish? Well, I'll tell you how. You have to have a very deep and a very personal relationship with God. You have to understand that Psalm 34:18 is true, and that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Perhaps today you find yourself in a place where the foundations under you might seem to be crumbling and you're wondering, what should I do? Maybe it is a tragic loss of a loved one, like Horatio. Or maybe it's the crushing power of sin that's brought addiction and chaos into your life. Or maybe it's just the overwhelming things that are going on in the world. And today you're fearful, you're concerned about what's going to happen next. Maybe you're even a little stir crazy with everything going on with the coronavirus and the stay-at-home order. And today you're in a place trying to figure out where God is in your scenario. Well, could I be the one to share some good news with you today? Today, God is present with you right now. In the middle of everything you are going through and I'm going through, God is still present. How do I know that? Because Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Listen, I know that no one's story is equal to somebody else's story. Everyone deals with pain and loss in their own way. But I do happen to know what it feels like to have lost a brother. I know what it feels like to have lost a dad. And as time goes on, if the Lord delays his coming, there will be other losses when it comes to death. I remember the loss of a church friend at 12 years old when I was told that he fell out of the back of a truck and died, and I would never get a chance to play with him again. I know what it is like to have children who are born with difficulties. And I remember when Autumn, our fifth child, was only 9 weeks old, and it looked like she might not live. I remember those moments. As you're listening today, you might be thinking of things that you've had to deal with in your life, and it might even be more severe or more intense than anything I've ever known or anyone else could really understand. And that is why all of us need to hear Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Church, it is in the dark moments of life that we need to understand that the Lord is with us. The psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 4, you're probably familiar with it. It says, even though I walk through, I want you to hear the key word through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. For you are with me. For God is with me. And it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Church, the light in the midst of the dark valley is to know that God is with us. Maybe, have you ever been in the dark and been alone and probably felt a little bit afraid? I know I've been there, most of us have. But it changes when you have somebody with you. What do you tend to do when you're in the dark but you have another person with you? You tend to get a little closer to them. You're like, I need to be close to you right now because it brings comfort to you. And to know now that you're walking through it together. Well, church, that same truth needs to be understood by us that God is with us. For those who are Christ followers, when difficult moments come in life, you need to remember you're not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. We just need to draw close to God. James puts it this way in James 4, the first part of verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The psalmist declares this in Psalm 73. He says in verse 25, Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then and down in verse 28, he goes on and says, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Church, it's good to be near God and have God near us. As I was preparing the message, I just began to think about those in our church body, those who had to draw close to God in the midst of their darkest valley. I think of those who might be going through our grief share. And glorious, of course, they have been reminded that God is close to their side. I think of those that might be walking through Celebrate Recovery who are finding God is close to you. I think of those that over the past 14, almost 15 years now, the challenges, the struggles, the frustrations that many have felt at one time or another, but with resolute in their heart, they continue to live and say, I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. God is with me. Church, there's always a treasure in the midst of the dark moments of life. And the treasure is this, knowing God is with us. Listen to God's word in Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And then in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Then the Lord says in Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Then Psalm 9:9-10, the Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Psalm 32, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you, listen to this, with my loving eye on you. Church, God is watchful over us. And hear Psalm 34, 18 again. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. As I look at the context of Scripture and I look at the biblical characters that are found in the Bible, and I look at all the pain and the hardship that many of them endured, I mean, think about Noah for a moment, the ridicule of building the ark when God had told him to build an ark. You can think of Abraham and Isaac and Moses and David, Elijah. In the New Testament, Stephen, Peter, Paul. But I want you to know there's one common factor in all of their stories, and that is that God's presence was in the middle of it all. But none more profound than Jesus, our Savior. You see, it was Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who was falsely accused, sentenced to be flogged and crucified. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They ridiculed him. They beat him, and then they made him carry his cross. And at Golgotha, they nailed him to that cross. They put spikes through his hands and feet, and it was there that he was lifted up, and the people mocked him, and they spit on him, and they said, he saved others, let him save himself now. It was there at the cross that creation mocked the Creator. And in the middle of all the physical pain, there was also the weight of all the sins of the world that was placed on him. At the cross, there was both the physical and the spiritual pain that Jesus endured for you and for me. And on that cross, in the middle of the darkest moment, Jesus, of course, cries out and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying, God, where are you? But church, there is more to this story than just Jesus crying and saying that from the cross. You see, rabbis in the ancient times taught by saying the first line of a text or a scripture. And after saying the first line, the students would know everything that was to follow that statement. Today, it would be like me giving you the first line of a song, and you would know the rest of the song. I could say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that," and you know the rest of it. And that's what Jesus, I believe, was doing on the cross. Jesus was pointing everyone who was watching his death upon the cross toward a prophetic and a messianic psalm known as Psalm 22. Verse 1 in Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the cries of anguish?" But I want you to hear what the psalmist goes on to say prophetically, because Jesus knew the rest of the psalm. Verse 3 says, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." And then down in verse 16, he goes on, "Dogs surround me, a pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." But verse 24 says, "For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help." And then verse 30 and 31 wraps it up, says, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it." Church, it is finished. He has done it. Jesus has done it. How? Because God was with him. That's how he did it. God did not forsake Jesus, and God will not forsake you. God said he would never leave us or abandon us. You see, Jesus did die on the cross, but after 3 days in a tomb, Jesus rose from the dead so that we could know he is alive and he is with us, and that he would be with us in the middle of our darkest hour. Listen, God is still present. God is still close. Psalm 34, 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The lyrics I'm about to read is maybe exactly why God has you listening today, because he wants you to understand the truth that Horatio knew when he wrote these verses. He was not lost in his pain. He knew the pain, but he also knew the Savior. And long before there was a melody to carry these lyrics were carried by the truth of who God is and that he was with Horatio through it all. And Horatio writes, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." He goes on to write, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, all of my sin, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." I want you to know today that God is present with you in the middle of your struggles, maybe your pain or your heartache. And I want you to know, once again, Psalm 34, 18 is so true. The Lord is close. He is close to the brokenhearted and saves. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that's why Horatio could write, it is well with my soul." Maybe today you don't feel like it's well with your soul. It could be because you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, I want you to know he is not far away from you today. In fact, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends." Jesus wants to be your Savior and your friend today. And if you would just invite Jesus to be Lord of your life, then he will rescue you in every dark hour. Would you pray this with me? Jesus, I invite you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Savior. I choose to live for you today. In Jesus' name, save me. Amen. If you prayed that today, I celebrate with you, and I pray that God will continue to grow you in your relationship with him. Thank you for putting your faith in Jesus today. But before I close, I want to take a moment and pray for all of us today, because I know people are going through tough circumstances and situations. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today knowing that you are the God of peace, and I ask in the middle of all the hurt and the pain and the struggles that might be going on in the lives of people, Lord, would you show them your presence and give them your peace? Come and settle each heart, each life, and settle into each home. And help us declare today that it is well with my soul. Father, I know you're present with each of us today. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So by faith, we know you're going to be with us. We believe you're going to walk with us through our struggles. And in some way, your name is going to be glorified and your kingdom will grow. So we put our trust in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to take a moment and just sing a couple of verses of this song with you this morning, as you just contemplate and pray and ask God to be with you. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like a sea billows roll, thank you. It is well with my soul. And that's why we can have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.